Hey, good morning, everyone. Good to see you here this morning. Thank you for coming. I'm glad that you're here. I want to just share with you before I get started that we're going to have a conference here Friday night and Saturday morning called Entrusted. Entrusted. My dear friend, one of my mentors and one of the men that I really respect and honor the most, really in the body of Christ, is a man named David Shibley. Dr. Shibley has traveled the world. I've known him for almost 35 years now. And he's traveled the world, preached the gospel, he's raised up leaders. The vision of his organization, Global Advance, is to raise up 1 million leaders to plant 1 million churches. And he's well into the hundred thousands of that now. And so he's going to be here on Friday night and Saturday. Eldred Sawyer is going to be coming. He's our partner down in East Dallas and among the poor. Scott Hinkle, really kind of a world-renowned street evangelist, is going to be here. He's going to be preaching and ministering here as well. And then finally, I'm going to share a little message on talking about how to reach people like you. Yeah, you're supposed to laugh about that. Okay, yeah, the good-looking ones, that's right, exactly. And so that is Friday night. Those of you that are leading mission trips or church staff or church leaders here or anyone here who loves and appreciates the gospel, wants to learn how to share it better, it'll be an awesome time for you. And it begins Saturday night. You can register at carecenterministries.org, carecenterministries.org, and we'd love to have you with us. Also, I want to give a report from Andrew Kabbalah. He was here with us for four services. Last week, Sunday morning, two services. Yeah, give him a hand. He did an awesome job. We prayed for over 150 people, and I'm being very conservative about that. He must have paid personally for at least that many. And we saw people that were healed. We saw people that were touched by the Lord. We saw people that really were encouraged and blessed by the Lord. And so as we got into Monday night of our time together, right before the service, I was praying for the service, and the Lord showed me a vision. And in this vision, I saw this massive boulder, round boulder. It was just massive. I don't know how to explain the size of it. Maybe as big as this auditorium. And all of us were pushing on that boulder. And we just barely could rock it a little bit. Just all of us were pushing on it. And I saw Andrew come. And he added his hands to it, and the boulder began to move a little bit. Just began to move a little bit. You know, once he gets a little momentum, it comes a lot easier to push, right? And so I said, Lord, what is that? And the Lord said, that is the release of the supernatural in your church. Is that we are going, here's what I really believe. It's been like a boulder pushing on it. I mean, we've been pushing, and we've been believing God and praying. We've been standing. We've been doing those things that we felt are necessary, really to see God move in a supernatural way. But I really believe that as we push together, believe together, we're going to start to get some momentum and see some noteworthy and notable things happen in the presence of God. I don't see any reason for us to be together except that we come together and enjoy God's presence. Really, I mean, you know, you can get good teaching on the radio. That's called the internet now. And you can get good worship, you know, in conferences and everywhere. But really, for us to be together, for God bringing us together and bringing his presence with him and being with us, we want to see God move supernaturally in our lives, in our families, in our finances, in our health. We want to see God do supernatural things. Over the course of the four meetings that Andrew was with us, there were some people that we prayed for that didn't get healed. And or they haven't been healed yet, or they haven't experienced it yet. And so we say, well, what do we do? It's awkward to see them or awkward to talk to them about it. Don't let that be at all. We want to create here an environment and an atmosphere of faith with camaraderie and compassion. We're in this together. And if you didn't get healed, I'm not fully healed. And so we're in this together. We want to stand with each other. We want to believe with each other. And all miracles are not instantaneous. We're going to talk about that today. They're not all instantaneous. And so we're going to stand together and believe together for great things. And so I just am grateful for Andrew coming. I'm grateful for him being here. And I'm grateful to be with you and excited about what God has for us as we push that boulder, get some momentum going, and really see God do some powerful things with us. Amen? Amen. Today, the topic of my message is We Believe in Miracles. We believe in miracles. You know, there was an article not too many, maybe a year and a half ago or something, about miracles. And one of the things that they said was that 82% of the United States population believe in miracles. 82%. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? But what they didn't say in what you come out in the fine print is they believe in miracles out there somewhere. They believe in miracles for others out there somewhere, but very few actually believe that God's a miracle worker for their lives and in their lives. And so we believe in miracles. I'm glad for miracles out there somewhere, but I'm looking for them right here, me and you, right? And so we want to believe in miracles, and we do believe in miracles here. And so I want to begin this morning with Matthew chapter 4. So if you brought your Bible, you can turn to Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is beginning his ministry. He has been tempted by the enemy. He has overcome the temptations of the enemy. He's in Nazareth, and he leaves Nazareth, and goes into Galilee and settles in a place called Capernaum, okay? And so Matthew chapter 4 is the beginning of his public ministry. It's the beginning of his public ministry. So after he comes out of Nazareth into Galilee, verse 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus began in that moment to preach. This was the thematic theme of his. What was he preaching when he traveled? What was he preaching when he ministered? What was he preaching when he shared, not just in Galilee, but in Judea, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, in Jericho? What was his message? Very simply, his message was this: to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was his message. That was the theme of everything that he shared. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes. And you skip down to verse 23. So Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So Jesus had a message. What was the message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then he had a way that he walked out that message. How did he walk out that message? By teaching the scriptures in their synagogues, by preaching in the marketplaces, in the plazas, in the open air, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And then finally, by healing all those sicknesses and all those diseases among the people. So teaching the scriptures, preaching the gospel, and then endorsing those teachings and that preaching by the supernatural healing of sicknesses and diseases, okay? And so the Bible says, verse 24, then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him all the way from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So Jesus quickly came to fame in that region of the world. Quickly came to fame. And one of the reasons that he quickly came to fame was not just because he was a great teacher, the best that ever lived, or a great preacher, the best that ever lived, but because of what he did to the sick and the poor. He healed them. He healed them. And look, notice there, it says that they were afflicted with various diseases and torments. He said that those who were demon-possessed, people who had epilepsy, people who were paralyzed, he healed them all. He healed them all. This was the way that Jesus brought the endorsement of God upon what he was saying, upon what he was ministering, upon what he was preaching, was by healing. The Bible says, and I thank Stuart for already sharing this morning, but in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago, The same Jesus that taught in their synagogues, preached the gospel of the kingdom, and healed all manners and kinds of torments and sicknesses and disease, that Jesus is the same today. He's the same today. That means the same things that he said then, he's saying now. The same things that he did then, he's doing now. Why? Because he's the same. He's exactly the same. Hasn't changed. This is him. This is him. This is his modus operandi, the way he conducts himself, teaching in their synagogue. This morning, I'm teaching you. And so the hope is that Jesus would reveal to you as I teach the scriptures, right? So he's teaching in their synagogues, in their gathering places, in their churches, all right? He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's a parallel world, a world that you cannot see, an invisible world that's available to you. He preached that. He taught that. He believed that. And of course, he was the king of that invisible kingdom. And so he's the same yesterday, back when he did it, as he is today, right now, as he will be in the future. He is the same. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. We believe in miracles. I looked up this morning in the word miracle. You know, Google always gives you a pretty good look at what miracle is. Here's what Google had to say. A miracle is a surprising and welcome event that is not explicable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore considered to be the work of God. Right? So a miracle is something that surprises you. It's something that you want, right? It's something that you want. It surprises you, but it can't be explained by something natural. It can't be explained by scientific laws. It's outside of the boundaries of scientific laws. It cannot be explained by that. It is therefore considered the work of God, God intervening in circumstances, situations, lives, him intervening. And so what we particularly want to talk to you about this morning, when we talk about we believe in miracles, there's lots of kinds of miracles. Remember, Jesus turned water into wine. That was a miracle. That was a miracle. Jesus, after his resurrection, walked through walls, but yet you could still feel his flesh. That's a miracle, right? But I want to focus us this morning on healing miracles. I want to push on that rock this morning, push on that boulder a little bit, and say that Jesus still heals. He still heals. And regardless of your experience in that, he still does it, because the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to talk just a bit about that and just visit about that. There are three types of healing miracles, three types. The first type is instantaneous healing. Well, we like that kind, don't you? I mean, boom. I was in a wheelchair and man, I got up and walked out. Boom, like Bartimaeus. I was blind, but now I see. I mean, like the leper, you know, hey, I had leprosy a minute ago and now I don't have it anymore. Yeah. And so instantaneous healing. As an example of that, in Matthew chapter 8, beginning of verse 1, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. So that's an immediate miracle, right? And so a miracle of healing immediately happened there. And so that's one type of healing miracle. Second type of healing miracle is what I call a progressive healing. A progressive healing. There's an example of that found in Mark chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Now think about that just for a minute. He took the blind man by hand and led him out of town. In other words, the God of the universe had to do something more than just touch him and say, be healed. He had to take him by the hand and lead him out of town. Wonder why he had to do that. Well, we find out that in Bethsaida, as well as several other of those cities, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, that Jesus did not do many wonders and miracles in some of those places. Why? Because their level of unbelief was so high. So he had to get them out of the atmosphere of unbelief and bring them into an atmosphere where they could believe. How many of you have ever heard this? You take a good seed, you plant it in good soil, and you get a good crop. How many of you know that's true? Raise your hand real high if you think that's true. Okay, put your hand down. Now let me ask you a question. If I took the best orange seed that Florida had to give and put it in the richest soil of North Dakota, how many oranges would I get? How many? Why? Too cold. It's the wrong atmosphere. It's the wrong atmosphere. So just because you have good seed, you put it in good soil, doesn't mean you're going to get a good crop, does it? Why? Because it's not the right atmosphere. North Dakota doesn't have the right growing season, not the right heat, not the right sunshine, not the right time, right? And so even though you got good seed, you got rich soil, you got no crop. It's the same way in the spiritual world. It's the same way in the spiritual world. We got the seed of God's word right here. Said, look, they begged him that he would touch them. Just a seed. Just give us something little. But Jesus knew in that moment that the soil was not right in that town to be able to bring a healing. So what did he do? He took him somewhere where the soil was right and implanted that seed of the word in the guy's life, and the guy got healed. Now, but watch how he got healed. This is pretty interesting. So it says, they brought a blind man to him, begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. This is ridiculous. This is God who knows everything, is asking him, did you see anything? Did you see anything? And the man looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. I sort of see something, but they look like trees. And so what the Bible says? I see men like trees walking, verse 25. Then Jesus put his hands on his eyes once again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Even God had to pray twice. Think about that. Even the God of the universe had to pray twice to get a human being healed. Now, here. If Jesus had to pray twice, we don't mind praying twice over you, or three times, or four times, or five times. We're gonna find out how to get you in the right atmosphere, in the right place, and believe that that seed is gonna come forth and bear fruit, right? Even if we have to pray twice, right? We're gonna do that, right? Okay. So I call that progressive healing. Progressive healing. When Andrew was here, he talked about the fact that he had been diagnosed as a 13-year-old with terminal cancer of the blood, leukemia. And what he said was pretty interesting is that he said they began treatment on it, and for 4 years he was treated. At the end of somewhere in the fourth year, the doctors had done everything that they could do. Here was a nearly 18-year-old young man who was down to 60 pounds. And literally on death's doorstep with leukemia. He was a Catholic young man, and so his family had sent the priest to come see him to perform the last rites over him. That is the last sacrament that he would take before he died. And so when the Catholic priest performed the last rites, everybody's brokenhearted, crying, standing around crying, the Catholic priest left, and in walked in the youth pastor of a Christian church. And the youth pastor said, I know the report you got is that you're going to die, but we have a different report. Amen. And they laid hands on him and prayed for him. And watch this now, no instantaneous healing, but over the next 3 months, he gradually, quick, and expressly got healed over the next 3 months. And by the end of the next year, he had no trace of leukemia in his life. He's 45 years old now. That was 26, 27 years ago. A progressive healing. A progressive healing. And my experience is that most people, that's the kind of healing miracle they get. It's progressive, all right? Because Jesus, he's the healer, right? The last form of healing is really the best. I call it ultimate healing. That's eternal life with Christ. You know that even if you get raised from the dead on planet Earth, it's temporary? You thought about that? I mean, it's just temporary. Even if you get raised from the dead, it's temporary. You're going to die again and go in the ground, and the worms are going to... No, I know. I didn't say. Right? You're going to go in the ground, and so it's temporary. All healing this side of heaven is temporary because the ultimate healing is eternal life with Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruption has put on incorruption, the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's the ultimate healing. And I know, you know, for all of us, we've had loved ones pass. We miss them. We love them. We're brokenhearted because they're gone. But we're not like the Gentiles who have no hope. We have hope. Why? Because there's a resurrection coming at the end for all who've been asleep in Christ. All of us, right? And so those are the three kinds of healing: instantaneous, progressive, and ultimate. So this morning, the last few minutes, what I want to just focus on is how you, me, how we can believe for a miracle. How can we believe for a miracle? If I were to ask you who needs a miracle in their life, most everybody would say, look, I need a miracle. I need a miracle in my faith. I need a miracle in my finances, my health. I need a miracle in my car. I need, you know, you need some kind of miracle. You need God to do something for you. Okay? And so how do you go about believing for that miracle? How do you do it? Is there a way? How do you do it? Well, I'm glad you asked. All right? There's three parts, I think. I mean, that's what I'm going to share with you today. Three parts to believing for a miracle. Three parts to believing for a miracle. It's what we think, okay? So that's a really important part, what we think. It's what we say, and it's what we do. Those three things. What we think, what we say, and what we do. If you falter on any of those three, you're diminishing your chances for healing, whether it be instantaneous, progressive, not ultimate, but those two things. You're going to falter. If you falter, you're going to lessen your opportunities, lessen your chance. In fact, you can use what you say to totally get you out of any healing and to make you worse. And so we're going to look at that today. So three major parts to believing: what we think, what we say, and what we do. So let's take the first one, what we think. We've got to realign our thoughts. We have to realign our thinking. Remember when I talked about Jesus coming and preaching? What did he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That word repent comes from a Greek word, metanoia. Meta meaning to change, noia meaning your mind. So repent really means to change the way you process information, to change the way you think. We do not think like God thinks yet. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. We don't think like he thinks. What do we think like? We think like the world has programmed us to think. If I say the word cancer, cancer, we all have a system of thought around that word, around that idea, right? And so all of us know someone who's died from cancer, right? Many of us have people who were loved ones who died from cancer. So we assume that when somebody gets cancer, that's a death sentence, right? We don't all assume that, but many of us think that. And then, well, it depends on what kind. This week, I went to the dermatologist. We've been going to my dermatologist since the kids were little, our dermatologist. And her name is Mary Fleischley. And so Mary is, she's awesome. She told me about 10 years ago, she said, you know, Pastor Joe, you are the prototype of an awesome dermatology patient. I said, really? How's that? She said, because every time you come in here, I get to freeze stuff. I get to cut stuff off of you. Because I grew up on a farm wearing a short sleeve shirt or no shirt at all, driving tractor, hauling hay, doing all that stuff. And now, in my 50s, all those things are starting to come to the surface. So this week she cut something off here, off here, and off here. And she said, we'll send them off and take a look at it. I said, you don't need to send them off. Just cut a bigger hole and sew it back up, because that's what you're going to do when you call me back. And so at any rate, so she, her nurse called me back this on Friday and said, Mr. Martin, she said, your lab results came back from your little biopsies. And one of them is a squamous cell something. It's fine. We'll just scrape that a little bit. It'll be fine. The other two are basal cell carcinomas. And you have skin cancer. And she was waiting for me to ask a question, you know. And she said, is there any questions you need me to answer for you? And I said, no, I am a pro at this. I've had stuff carved off of me for years. And I mean, it's no big deal. She said, well, we're going to make you an appointment with a surgeon, and the surgeon will go in there and look at all the margins, and they'll take out all of it, and they'll sew you back up. She said, do you have any questions? I said, no, I told you, I'm a pro at this. Just give me the day I need to be there, and I'll get it done. And so basal cell carcinoma is not scary to me. Why? Because I've had it before, and I've been healed from it. And I got a few more. But guess what? They can get that too. That's right? Right? And so it doesn't scare me. My brother-in-law earlier this year, he was diagnosed with lymphoma. How many of you know that lymphoma is definitely different than basal cell carcinoma? He had tumors on his liver. And so my sister called and she said, Joe, we really need you now. She was crying. And I said, Lisa, he's going to make it through this. Let's just set it up right now. He's going to make it through this. We're going to pray and believe. We're going to stand with you. And not only is he going to make it through this, but what he goes through is going to help a lot of other people. So I created a world for her to live in my words. What if I would say, God, that's dead. Wow. Woo. Yowza. Well, that stinks. How much life insurance he got? How would that be? See? And so, but people do that. See what their words. So we got to realign our thoughts. We got to realign our thoughts. And how do we realign our thoughts? We realign our thoughts based on changing the way we look at life. And here's the biggest thought you can have to realign all the rest of them, that the name of Jesus is above every name here on heaven, in heaven, and upon earth. It's above every name. It has more authority than any name that is named, both in earth and in heaven. And so you start right there by lining your thoughts up to that idea, just right there, that no matter what name somebody comes up with, the name of Jesus is greater. That's right. No matter what name some disease comes up, the name of Jesus is better. But well, you don't understand. I do understand. The name of Jesus is higher than that name. Well, you don't understand Dr. So-and-so, who's the expert. Yes, I know Dr. So-and-so. He's got a great name, but the name of Jesus is higher than the name of Dr. So-and-so. You see what I'm saying? You got to realign your thoughts. So how do you begin to believe? By realigning your thoughts with what the Word says rather than what you think. That's right. And so several weeks ago, I preached on the Word and how important it is. And I told you, you know, you got to get in the Word. I gave you a little book, says Life in the Word. And I copied the page here on healing. Exodus 15:26, the Lord is the God who heals me. Psalm 103:3, God forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Psalm 107:20, the God sent his word to heal me. Mark 9:23, I know all things are possible to those who believe. Luke 1:37, with God, nothing is impossible. Matthew 9:35, that Jesus healed every sickness and every disease among the people. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes I have been healed. You see what I'm saying? So you begin to confess the word of God. Confess the word of God over your life. Confess it over your situation. Confess it over your circumstance. You know, and I promise you, your brain is going to say, it's not doing any good. But guess what? The name of Jesus is over the name of your brain. And so you got to realign your thoughts. If you're going to believe, you got to realign your thoughts. Number two, what we say is important. What we say, we got to speak the word. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Jesus said, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, everybody say says, to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says, everybody say says, will be done, he will have whatever he says. Say says again. I learned this a long time ago. Kenneth Hagin used to read this verse almost every time he preached. And here's what he would say with this verse. He would say that in the kingdom, what you say is three times more important than what you believe. Think about that just for a minute. What you say is three times more important than what you believe. Why is that? Why is that? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, we find out that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. It is our words that frame the world that we live in. Just like you were to frame a house, okay, and you leave the window in the front open, and you can look out the window, and that is your view. Why can't you look out the side? Because it's framed on the side. Why can't you look out the back? It's framed in the back. And so that plywood or that siding has framed it. The only thing you can see is the front door and the front window. That's it. And so you get a picture of the world that passes by your front door, right? But see, what the Word of God does is it frames bigger than that. Yeah. It takes down all the obstacles. Yeah. It lets you see the things the way that they really are. And so it's our words that we use to create the world that we live in. And so if we want a good marriage, we have to begin to speak good words over that marriage, right? If we want a good health, we have to begin to speak good health over our lives. Some people take this to the extreme, you know, the name it, claim it theology. Other people take it to the extreme. Don't curse yourself. Stop all that. Stop being weird. Stop all that. Just show us by example what to do, okay? Just show us by example what to do. And don't be correcting people about whether they're cursing themselves or not. Just show us by example what to do. You know, they tell you, well, you know, I got cancer and I'll be dead in 3 days. And, you know, the Bible says that you'll live and not die. And that's what I'm going to believe today. And so you don't have to say, don't curse yourself. I mean, come on. Just what we want, hear my heart on this. I want to see the supernatural, miraculous power of God, but I don't want to see it with a bunch of weirdos. Do you? I mean, I want to be able to bring my parents here, and they're comfortable here with the supernatural. I want to be able to bring my lost friends here, and they're comfortable with the supernatural, not because somebody's, you know, creating a world with their words, but they got a tambourine as they're creating. Just stop all that, all right? Say, well, what if that does bring the power of God? Well, good. We'll have a special service, and we'll say that's what we're doing today, all right? And so I love what Andrew said. Andrew said, look, you don't have to close your eyes and make weird noises for the power of God to move. Amen. You don't have to, you know, get all scrunched up and serious for the power. If God's power is going to move, it's going to move, right? Because Jesus' name is over our name, right? And so one of the things I want to do is let's extract, if you will, from the word, the power, the supernaturalness of it, without, you know, adding to it our charismatic religion, all right? And let's just be normal. If it's not working, we're just going to say it's not working, okay? But we're going to keep praying because we're going to believe God that's going to work, right? All right. Does that make sense to you? Okay, good. And so we want to speak the word. So saying really is important. What we say with our words really makes a massive difference. Number three, the third step to really believing for a miracle is that we expect to receive. So think about that just for a minute. We want to realign our thoughts. We want to speak the word over our situation. Say, well, I don't know what the word is. That's why I made it, got this book for you right here, Life in the Word. It gives you plenty to get started on right there. Speak the word over our situation and then expect to receive. Expect to, you would think that would be natural, that people would, but no. Most people have a real barrier here. What's their barrier? They don't think they're good enough to have received. They don't think they've lived right enough to receive. They don't think that what they're currently doing qualifies them. It disqualifies them for a miracle. And so they don't believe that they can receive. Bartimaeus is an awesome story. The Bible says in Mark 10 that as he came to Jericho, he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, and blind Bartimaeus. We read that word Bartimaeus, we think that was his name. Bar is son, Timaeus is the father's name. He was the son of Timaeus. As far as we know, that's the only name he had. He was the son of Timaeus. It'd be like Matthew, you, and Daniel. Daniel didn't have a name. What was his name? It was Bar Matthew, the son of Matthew, right? That's a pretty good name, but it doesn't have his own name, right? His own name's Daniel, right? And so he sat by the road begging, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49 is amazing passage. The Bible says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Here's a blind, destitute, street urchin who cries out to the King of the universe, have mercy on me. Jesus is surrounded by his people. He's surrounded by people following him, his disciples, surrounded. But he hears Bartimaeus, and the Bible says that he stood still. You want to make God stand still? Yes. Turn and call you? Yes. Cry out to him. You don't have to be a social stature. You don't have to, you know, be a rich guy. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to have had tons of education. You don't have to be the right color. You don't have to be the right age. None of that stuff. You just got to cry out to Jesus. You just got to cry out to Jesus. He threw aside his garment. There's a whole teaching of that. He rose and he came to Jesus. Verse 51, so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? It's a question he might be asking you this morning. What do you want Jesus to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Well, I would have done that too. All right? Go your way. What did he say? Your faith has made you well. What does that mean? You expected me to do it when I said I would. You expected me to do it when I said I would. If we're going to believe, we got to realign our thoughts. We got to speak the word over our situation, whatever it is, your finances, your health, your family. Speak the word over our situation. And third, you got to expect to receive. You got to expect to receive. If a blind, destitute, beggar, street urchin could receive from Jesus, so can me and you. So can me and you. Would you stand to your feet just for a moment? I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Only if you want to. Just an opportunity to respond. There are many of you here this morning. You need a miracle. You need a miracle. In just a minute, I'm going to get to that. The greatest miracle of all time is the miracle of salvation. How can God reach into the heart of a human and transform that heart without any anesthetic, without any operation, just in a few seconds? If Jesus hasn't transformed your heart 15 seconds from when we pray, you could be a totally different person. Your life could totally change. You could be new, a new creation in Christ. But you have to do what I just said do. You have to realign your thoughts and realize it's not you who can save you, it's Jesus who can save you. You have to speak the word. I'm going to speak that word over you, that Jesus saves, he heals, he delivers. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he loves you. He loves you. Now, your part, you expect to receive it. You expect to receive it. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or your heart has become hard to the Lord, and you've been maybe transformed at one time in your life, but it's become hard to God, then you want to say, Lord, I'm here today. I want my life to change. I want my life to change. Come into my heart and change me. If that's you, I'm going to pray in just a moment, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to come up. Then after I pray for you, I'm going to ask those of you that need a miracle to raise your hands. And I'm going to remind you of what we talked about today. Realigning your thoughts, changing your confession, and expecting God to move, okay? I'm going to pray for you, okay? So if everyone would bow their heads, please. If you're here today, you're in that first group I was talking about. Your heart's become hard to God, or you've never really had your life and heart transformed by God, and you want Jesus to come into your life, would you just raise your hand? I'm going to pray for you right where you are. I'm not going to ask anybody to move from their seat or come up. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Anybody like that in here this morning? I want to invite Jesus into my heart for the first time today. Or I'm just not right with God. I want to get right with God. I need him in my life, and I want to be right with God. If that's you, would you raise your hand quickly? Just say, that's me. Let me pray for you. Thank you. Anybody? Anybody? Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Thank you, love. Anybody else? Anybody else? Thank you. I see you back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm telling you, just a few seconds from right now, you could be changed, born again, changed, new. Anybody else? It's two. Anybody else? Three. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. So if you raised your hand, just raise your hand high. I want to pray for you now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for these, Lord, who've raised their hands and raised their hearts to you. And Lord, I just ask you now in the name of Jesus, just move mightily in their heart and life. Reveal yourself to them. Lord, the word says that if they receive you, Lord, that they become a new creation in Christ. The old things have passed away. All things become new. I thank you, Lord, that you love them. I thank you, Lord, you got great things in store for them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today, you need a miracle, and you need help believing for that miracle. Would you raise your hand wherever you are? Thank you, all over the room. Just raise both hands. Father, you see these that need a miracle today in their lives, in their families, in their finances, in their jobs. They need a miracle, Lord, in their friendships. They need a miracle with their children. They need a miracle in their health. Father, I thank you, Lord, that today you've given us a key. Lord, that if we will realign our thoughts that the name of Jesus is over every name that's named. If we, Lord, will speak the word that you love us, Lord, to speak the word of God over our situation, that we always have the victory in Christ Jesus. And Lord, if we walk out of this place expecting to receive, Lord, you can do it. Lord, we're not going to give up, we're not going to give in, and we're not going to go back. And we'll pray again and again and again until you do it. in Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen. 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 God bless you. Give somebody a hug. Have a great afternoon. Thank you for being here. I'll see you next week. Thank you, brother. Nice to meet you, Uncle. Hey, Cody, man. You say goodbye to this man. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You turned me off up there. Thank you.